the House Resource Committee to order. It's 4:40. Today is May 9th, 2004. Members present are Representative Gatto, Hines, Co-Chair Dahlstrom, Co-Chair Masick, Representative Wolf, Representative Krutula, and Guttenberg. And we have one item on the agenda today, and it's CS for Senate Bill 297 Resources, Version C. And I believe we have the sponsor here to give us her statement. And for those that are online that would like to testify on this bill, I'm going to limit testimony to 3 minutes due to time constraints. And we do have amendments that will be offered to us today on this bill. And the bill is an act relating to bear predation management and the donation and sale of bear hides and skulls. And if you could please give us your sponsor statement.
For the record, my name is Brian Hove, staff for Senator Seekins. And I'll just start out with saying that SB 297 is in essence a predator control program for bears, only in those areas that are identified, where bears are identified as being a problem. There is no shortage of black or grizzly and brown bears in Alaska. In some game management units, the bear populations are many multiples of the established population objectives. The Alaska Department of Fish and Game estimates statewide black bear populations is as high as 200,000 and grizzly and brown bear population as high as 35,000. In certain game management units, estimates range from 70 to 90%. That's 70 to 90% of all the moose calves are dead before they reach the age of 2 months, due in large part to bear predation. As a result, fall recruitment is virtually zero and the reproductive base populations are crashing. The well-publicized 2003 McGrath bear relocation experiment clearly demonstrated that a reduction in bear populations has a direct positive effect on increasing calf survivability and thus the long-term health of the resource. But relocation efforts do not solve the underlying problem. Senate Bill 297 addresses Alaska's bear overpopulation problem in those places called intensive management areas where the Board of Game has, one, first determined that consumptive use of the big game population is a preferred use. Two, depletion of the big game population has occurred and may result in a significant reduction in the allowable human harvest of the population. And three, enhancement of abundance or productivity of the big game prey population is feasibly achievable utilizing recognized and prudent active management techniques. It is important to understand that the provisions in SB 297 only come into play if the Board of Game, advised by the Department of Fish and Game biologists, finds that bears are a cause of the depletion or reduction of big game productivity. Once the above findings have been made, Senate Bill 297 allows for remediation efforts through the issuance of bear predation management permits. These special purpose permits relax certain restrictions relative to taking of bears in those areas where bear predation is identified as a problem. The bill also provides guidance with respect to bear sealing as well as disposition of hides and skulls taken under this act. A strong point of emphasis is that this program is, in all reality, as I mentioned at the outset, a predator control program. The provisions of this act do not apply to game management units in which intensive management is not necessary. Furthermore, proactive measures end as soon as the bear populations are once again within the population objectives that have been set by the Board of Game. With that, I will entertain questions.
Before you move forward with that, I'd ask committee members to hold questions. We have people online that want to testify, and we also have Wayne Reglin in the audience if there are any other questions. So
I believe Senator Seekins is online.
Yes,
as
he
well.
Is. Okay. Yes, he is. Mr. What was your name again?
Brian.
Yes, he is online. Thank you. And we also have Pat Carter in the audience. Be here to answer questions if there is any. So So we'll move to teleconference.
Chair, just a quick observation. I had to look up because I heard your father's voice.
Okay, thank you, Representative Guttenberg. We're going to move to the off-net. We have Paul Johnson online, and I'd like to again reiterate, you got 3 minutes for your testimony, so if you could state your name and affiliation for the record and give us your statement on the bear bill.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. My name is Paul Johnson. I'm just speaking for myself. I have been around game management for many, many years. I respect the Senator Dinkins is attempting to do here. Fortunately, he admitted in the last hearing that we had on this that taking a gamble on our guide required law in our state and having a gamble on a court case, which has happened in Montana and other states, and our counsel that we've spoken to, a very respected attorney, best advice is that we would lose this case and lose guide required in our state. Senator Dinkins admitted last time it's a 50-50 coin toss. The Department of Fish and Game couldn't give an estimate of how many bears by taking that portion of this bill, how many more bears would be taken. But it affects a lot more. It's not black bears we're talking about here, only brown bears on that section. What we're talking about here is that we're talking about sheep and goats also if we happen to lose that law. We're happy to affect our residents of our state. It would affect that $120 million industry. It would have a huge effect on the department. An unbelievable effect on my family and myself. And for a 50-50 gamble on taking a few bears that may increase, here we like to refer to you as 13 and maybe 1,000 bears. The reality is that if you take 15 or 20, that gamble worth a lot of what the state would go through, especially if those in the rural areas are trying to make a goal that have but 30 years into their business livelihood. It's not worth the gamble, and it isn't right. And I don't mean to hurt anybody's feelings or anybody who's upset over trying to accomplish this. It's predator control. Let's do predator control. Let's don't take it away from the guy. Let's don't take it away from the residents who may lose on the sheep. I've got goodness under Jimmy Carter. We lost 75 of our prime sheep area already and squished everybody down to remaining spots. Let's don't do this. It needs to be amended to take the guide or the non-resident alien sections out of this. And it has to be done. And I hate to even comment on this. I hate that it even has to be, my back has to be put up in the wall, against the wall. We're in a box. We have no other way than to make a comment that a 50-50 gamble on anybody's livelihood isn't worth the gamble. Anyway, thank you very much. I hope that the ladies there have a happy Mother's Day. Mm-hmm. And I hope that you get a chance to amend this bill and let it go on to the floor.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Johnson, for your testimony. You're right at 3 minutes, and we appreciate your message for the mothers that are here today. Next, we'll go to Rob Holt. Rob, if you could give us your name and affiliation for the record, and again, you have 3 minutes for your testimony.
Thank you very much, Representative Matzik. My name's Rob Holt, and I'm currently the Vice President of Alaska Professional Hunters Association, and pretty much just speaking on behalf of myself at this time and other concerned guys and people that live in the community that I live in Talkeetna, who derive quite a bit of their living from guiding. I'm opposed to the measures of this bill. I've submitted a written comment for you, and I hope it's got your officer. I just emailed it, and hopefully it's got some details in it. Consider. The fact is that everything that Paul Johnson has just related to you is correct. In areas where we don't have guides, in areas where people rely on moose hunting and other animals that don't have a guide required law, essentially the the guiding business has gotten to the point where it's struggling to survive at best. And in some of these areas where they've implemented intensive management, such as 16 and 13, the only resource that those guys have left is brown bears and black bears. And if you remove their guide-required law in any form in those areas, essentially those guys will be put out of business by the wholesale market that will that'll spring out of this. That's a primary concern, but the basis of my concern is the fact that this kind of an action, when you're looking at trying to control the numbers of these bears in this manner, devalues that wildlife on a scale that is recognized by people around the world. In other countries where they have valuable wildlife that they have to reduce in numbers, they do it professionally by culling, and they do it in very specific areas to very specific numbers. They do not rely on the resident populace that's interested in hunting to bring about the reduction of those numbers. And one of the reasons they do that is the political and scientific defensibility of what they're doing. And what the end result is, they maintain the value associated to those animals. And I think that that's primary here. I think that the state of Alaska does not want to put itself in a position where we're seen as devaluing our brown bears anywhere. A brown bear hunt in an area where intensive management is necessary should always be bringing top value and top dollar into the state, rather than reduced to the point where it's essentially a varmint hunt. I think that's going in leaps and bounds heading in the wrong direction. And then the other thing, just in consideration of when we get into these areas where we're deciding that we need to reduce these brown bear numbers, I don't believe that the state has stepped up to the plate in regards to employing the most accurate technology available to have the right numbers to use. And I think that any time the state's going to make those kind of steps, it's absolutely essential that they do that. And we haven't gotten to that point with what the Department of Fish and Game uses for census and how they put their numbers together.
Mr. Holt, we're yes. getting right running up with time here. So.
That'll be about where I end then. And I thank you very, very much for the opportunity to comment on this.
And also, for the record, Representative Lynn has joined us some time ago. And Rob, we really appreciate your testimony. We do have written testimony from your wife, Karen, that we have available to the members here on the committee. So thank you very much for your testimony. We're going to move to Billy Fitzgerald. Billy, if you're online, if you could give us your name and affiliation for the record and give us your testimony on this bill, and you have 3 minutes. Billy Fitzgerald, are you there online?
Pardon me?
Are you going to testify on Senate
yes.
Bill 297?
Yes, ma'am.
If you could give us your name and affiliation for the record, and you have 3 minutes for your testimony.
Thank you very much. My name is William Fitzgerald, and I'm here to testify opposed to Senate Bill 297. I'd like to say that I'm a registered guide, and I own a business here in Talkeetna called the Alley Guides and Outfitters. My business has been running continuously for 20 years. Every year I have between 6 and 10 brown bear hunters and guide use area 1301. I spend an average of about 150 hours per year flying over Game Management Unit 13, and 90% of that time I'm looking for bears and other big game animals. I'm extremely aware of the populations of the animals, and I'm entrusted to self-manage both as an ethical hunter and as an ethical business owner. What I've seen over the past few years is a definite increase in wolf populations, but under no circumstances can the same be said for brown grizzly bear populations. As a matter of fact, I believe that the Department of Fish and Game, the only reliable source of information they have on bear populations is the harvest of bears. I do not believe that they are actively in the field counting bears, and I think this is paramount in any type of a bill like this as a predator control. Secondly, if this bill were to come to fruition, the results could be devastating to my business. In essence, the Alaska State Legislature would be unleashing an unprecedented number of guides hunting in competition for the resource in the name of management control. I think that recently I drove down the highway and there's billboards that tell how many moose have been killed by automobiles. And I think that Mr. Seekins is genuinely concerned about the huntable populations of moose in Game Management Unit 13. And he should be working tirelessly to reduce the number of moose killed by automobiles and trucks in the Matanuska-Sisseton Valley. That number of moose killed by automobiles, 375 over the past 7 months, does not include the number killed by railroad activities, and that's also traditionally a significant number. Also, right now in Game Management Unit 13, we have the longest season and the most liberal hunting parameters for brown grizzly bear hunting in North America. I'd like to finish by saying that that I believe that those regulations that are in place for hunting bears in Game Management Unit 13 are enough to prevent overpopulation of bears and predation on the moose. And again, I just want to go on record as saying that I'm absolutely opposed to Senate Bill 297. And I'd like to thank you for allowing me this opportunity to speak and comment on this bill.
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Fitzgerald. We have a couple other more people here that want to testify, and then we're going to open it up for committee discussion. So I guess for you folks that are on off-net, if there are questions to you in regards to your comments that you made to this bill, if you could please stay online. And I see we have Senator Seekins online. If you'd like to give us your testimony on your bill, you have 3 minutes.
He's no longer online.
Okay. He had a plane to catch at 5 after 5.
Pardon me?
He was catching a plane at 5 minutes after 5.
Okay, so next we'll go to Jennifer Juhas from AOC. Jennifer, if you'd give us your name and affiliation for the record and give us your testimony, and you have 3 minutes.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, my name is Jennifer Juhas. I am the Executive Director of the Alaska Outdoor Council. I am testifying on behalf of the Board of Directors of the Alaska Outdoor Council, which is an umbrella organization representing over 54 member clubs and over 12,000 individual members, including several former wildlife management professionals. The Alaska Outdoor Council supports Senate Bill 297 as a useful wildlife management tool for the Alaska Department of Fish and Game in areas designated for intensive management, and we urge the committee to please vote to pass this bill. Thank you for the opportunity to testify today on support of this valuable legislation.
Thank you very much, Jennifer. Appreciate your testimony, and I think that has concluded the testimony in regards to this bill, and at this time we'll open it up for questions to either the sponsor of the bill who is present with us, or we do have other members online that would like to put their input here. And I see, Wayne, did you really want to testify, or are you just here to answer questions if there are any?
I can address questions.
Thank you very much. Are there any questions? Representative Gatto?
Madam Chair, I have one. Brian, you mentioned that 70% of the calves are dead by age 2.
Yes.
Just looking, bears, weather, disease, wolves, food supply, poaching. Somewhere in there is a percent that are attributable to bears. And I don't know if we know that number, do we?
I don't know that we do either. However, we do know that bears are a big part of that number.
We do.
Wayne, if you want to join up here, maybe you can put in some input as to the consent of Gatto's question.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm Wayne Regland, Deputy Commissioner of the Department of Fish and Game. I'm filling in for Matt Robus, who snuck off to Colorado to attend his daughter's graduation from college. And it's about 70% of the moose calves are killed in the first 2 months of life. During that period of time, it's almost all done by bears. The wolves, first 2 months, about 70% of the annual calf crop in many areas. It varies from, you know, across the state, but in the highest areas, and it varies, but it's both black and brown bear. And in unit, you know, I don't, it, each unit is, each game management unit has different numbers.
Well, follow up, Representative Gatto.
How does that compare? You know, we're going to make a major effort in controlling wolves. Would you say that the control of wolves is almost irrelevant compared to the control of bears?
Madam Chair, Representative Gatto, absolutely not. We have a lot of mortality for that first 2 months when the calves are first born and very vulnerable. And then we have the wolves are taking the moose during the winter, most young ones, the yearlings and older ones, too. But once you get up to, you need to have about 30% of the calf crop survive into the next for 1 year in order to have a healthy moose population. And when you lose 70% of the calves right off the bat, you just aren't going to get there. So you have to have both reductions in wolves and bears in some of these places to have enough increased moose populations.
Representative Wolf.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. I heard you make a statement that we don't have a problem. We have a healthy bear population, black bear, brown bear, grizzly bear. Is that, did I hear correct? Is that a statewide statement?
I believe so. I'm sorry, you're directing that at me.
Well, I was directing it at you. Now, for Fish and Game, correct me, it's mystifying. All I ever hear on the Kenai Peninsula is our brown bear population is in trouble. We can't even have a brown bear hunt on the Kenai Peninsula because somebody kills brown bear because of life and property. I'm hearing two different stories.
Madam Chair, Representative Wolf, on a statewide basis, we have very healthy black bear populations. I can't think of anywhere we don't. The same is true in most air places for brown bears or grizzly bears also. The one exception is the Kenai Peninsula, where there's probably fewer than 300 grizzly bears left, and it's just an encroachment of population and people into an area. So that's the one place that we manage the... Essentially, we haven't had a hunt there because the numbers of bears killed in defense of life and property exceed the sustainable harvest.
Follow-up, Representative Wolf.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. So is that the same in the valley as well? I mean, I keyed in on that because, you know, when you say we have a healthy population statewide, you mean statewide, right?
Well, I don't know that we want to get...
Did we get succeeded? Did we get departed from the state of Alaska?
I think the area that we're talking about here, where we have issues, and Wayne, please correct me if I'm wrong, but it's in this area here. Down here, you aren't going to see this program. And Wayne, please jump in. And in the valley, I don't think you're going to see this program. But up in this area, which I think is identified as Game Management Unit 13, we have issues.
Madam Chair.
Wayne.
The area that, the way the bill is now structured, if it would pass, it would allow bear control programs. It's very similar to the structure we have for wolf control programs, and it would be up to the department or the Board of Game to determine the methods and means that could be used in these population reduction programs and the area. At the present time, the only area that the department feels we have adequate data to do such a program would be in what's called Game Management Unit 13, which is the Neuchina Basin, which is Glen Allen is in the middle of that. It's northeast of Anchorage. It's a large area, and it does have a lot of bears there. And, you know, it's this whole issue is a policy call for the legislature, really. As you've heard, it would be an increased risk to the guiding industry because of court cases. When you change something, in the society we have today, everybody seems to want to sue. But nobody's done that in the past. But what this bill would do was provide an opportunity to put more hunters into the field in selected locations where we could target bear populations that needed to be reduced to reduce predation. So it's one of those difficult policy calls on what's the best way to go.
I have a follow-up, Representative Wolf.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. Just one more time. Are we referring to the Game Management 13 in this bill? Or are we leaving it up to the board, a game, and we're just blanketing the whole state?
Madam,
go ahead.
Madam Chair, Representative Wolf, the bill leaves that completely up to the board of game. It does not target one area versus another one. But as I said, the only place at the current time that we would have enough data to move forward in the department's mind would be in Game Management Unit 13. And there's most areas of the state this would never occur.
Okay, Representative Guttenberg and then Crotula.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We've heard three people get on board, people testifying before this that were big game guides that are representing big game organizations that said they wouldn't mind predator control, but that this is a varmint hunt. And I was wondering, brown and black bear and grizzly bear brown and grizzly certainly are high-quality hunt in this state, and they're concerned about you demeaning that whole aspect of it. So I was wondering if you could comment on that.
Thank you. Through the chair, the way the bill is structured, this predator control program for bears would not be a method of hunting. It would be under a predator control program where they'd get a special permit to hunt, and the board of game would be able to modify the standard methods and means for hunting. They have already, the board, looking at this methods and means changes, have talked about a whole variety of things that might be tried to increase the bear harvest. One thing they did exclude was they would not allow bears to be taken out of airplanes or helicopters.
Follow-up, Representative Guttenberg.
Thank you, Madam Chair. How much field research has been done wherever it needs to be done to decide whether or not these programs need to be implemented?
Through the chair, bears are a difficult species to study, but we have had continuous long-term research programs in Game Management Unit 13 since probably about 1981. And we have reasonably good populations, estimates of the populations. And what we do is, because it's so difficult to see and do, we take small areas, we do get a population estimate, and then we expand it to the larger area. We feel we have a very good handle on the bear populations, bear reproduction, and harvest levels in Game Management Unit 13, probably by far the best in the area, except the three big trophy areas where we manage extremely carefully, the Alaska Peninsula, Kodiak, and Admiralty Island. And those areas, again, would never be considered for this type of a bill or action.
So today you could say, Game Unit 13 or 17, how many bears would be able to be taken in this program?
To the chair, the board of game has several years ago established a population of a goal of about 300 to 350 bears in this area. Right now we estimate there's about 1,500 bears in the area. grizzly bears. There's black bears too, but that's grizzly bears.
Do you have another follow-up?
Not right now, thank you.
Have you thought about, since we had this nuisance moose bill, have you thought about making it a nuisance bear bill and maybe taking them and relocating them to other areas of the state?
No, there was...
but that's a strike that Representative Crotula
struck. It struck me as well. You know, I just am not sure, Wayne, and I really appreciate and respect you, but I'm not sure how you can testify that this isn't a hunting bill when we've got non-residents coming in, getting this permit and going out. I mean, I can't remember that happening with any other kind of game. Am I remembering right, or do we do this with any other predation program?
Through the chair, no. This is an innovative way of, you can call it an innovative way of looking at it, of trying to put more hunters in the field. For most species, anybody can come up and buy, non-resident can buy a hunting license. For three species of game, you have to hire a registered guide. Grizzly bears or brown bears are the same thing. Goats and sheep. And what we have done, and I agree that it's in the perception of the public out there, it's going to be hunting. But we, in the legal aspects, we have separated it. It's not considered hunting. It's the same way as wolf control. It's a predator control program. And they don't have to buy a big game brown bear tag. They pay a fee if they harvest a bear.
There are very few realistic alternatives here. One, of course, is to take helicopters out, and that doesn't seem to be a very palatable option. Another option is...
Can you identify yourself for the record, please?
This is Brian Hove, staff to Senator Seekins. So we can take helicopters out, but that's not a very realistic option. We can, and I had another option there, and I've forgotten it now. But what we're trying to do is take care of predators.
Follow up, Representative Crotula.
Well, having been through the wolf wars the last 6 years, I mean, I paid a lot of attention to the methods of predator control, and I understand that, and I don't believe that that's hunting. I do believe that's predator control, and whether I agree with it or not, I believe the department was focused in on how to deal with that in a safe methodological way. But I don't see that when you're letting people come up from out of state, get these permits that I don't really understand exactly what the safety training and everything else is really going to be yet. And topping it off with then threatening the guide system in Alaska. Have you had an attorney general, have you had an AAG look at this? Have you had anybody take a good hard look at whether we threaten the whole guide system? I mean, I've read Mr. Clutch's opinion, and it really troubles me that we might once again bring down the whole system, and I've been through that too. So, has anybody looked at it?
Through the chair. Our Assistant Attorney General, Kevin Saxby, has drafted a letter saying that it would be very difficult to defend a court case that challenged the guide requirement bill if we pass this legislation. He didn't say it'd be impossible, but he said it would make it much more difficult than the current standards that we have. The reason, and right now we allow second degree of kindred to hunt with their relatives, without hiring a guide. And I think they can't pay these people they go with. What it's going to do is allow people to come up and hunt with their friends and acquaintances and have them go out without a guide if this legislation passes.
Can we get a copy of Kevin's letter when it's available?
I didn't bring it with me today, but...
I'd like to have one when I could get it. Thank you. And for the committee. So he says difficult. Yeah, I'm sorry, but that's what I would have assumed. Thank you.
I think we've always, through the chair, acknowledged that it increases the risk to this losing our guide requirement law.
And just one last, how many guides do we have right now registered for bear?
Oh, for bear?
point, you know, I don't know. I just know that
Mr. Holt, are you online yet?
It's okay. How many total? Do you know?
I had someone online that could answer it. Maybe Paul Johnson or Billy Fitzgerald.
Yeah, this is Rob Bolton here, I think that Billy Fitzgerald probably has a more accurate idea of who's registered for the section of 13 that he uses.
Mr. Fitzgerald, would you like to comment?
Yes, I sure would. If I'm not mistaken, I believe there's about 25 registered guides that actively operate hunting camps and game management unit 13.
Representative Cortula, did that answer your question?
Well, it's just...
I'd like to make a quick comment. Paul Johnson here.
Mr. Johnson, go ahead.
Yeah. Representative Cortula, it's important to recognize that it's more than just the guides in that area. If the guide law went down, it would affect the guides in the whole state. It would not only affect bears, it would affect sheep and goats. Black bear are not, I repeat, black bear are not on the guide required list. And those areas are open to take people, to take their friends, relatives, and it has not, in those areas, achieved what Wayne Ringland would like to see achieved. It hasn't worked, and that's eligible for black bear at this point. But it would take down sheep hunting, goat hunting, and brown bear hunting. Not just in this area, statewide in Montana, and Bill Horn wrote a memo on this. It's very clear that in Montana, where they made one area of the state different for guide required than another state, it's a slam dunk as far as the courts are concerned. There's already been a court case on this.
Mr. Fitzgerald, did you want to follow up on that? Otherwise, we're going to continue on with the debate.
As far as the amount of guides being
yes.
registered in the area?
Yes.
Well, every one of these guides, I would imagine, are taking somewhere between 5 and 15 grizzly bear hunters per year. And I think that is a significant amount of pressure already on the resource. As we stated earlier, there's a guess that there's 1,500 bears here. And I stated earlier that the only means that Fishing Game has is are the data that have to do with bears that have been taken. They do not go out and do aerial surveys or any other type of counts of bears in the area. This is a guesstimate. And like I previously said, I fly in this area 150 hours a year, spend 90% of my time looking at bears or looking for bears, and I have not seen an increase in bear population whatsoever.
Ms. Representative Guttenberg, on that point, did you have a question on it, or
well,
if I saw you raise your hand?
Yeah, in some ways it might be a question, but and I don't know the answer, and I've been sitting on this committee for 2 years, and this is a new situation, but could you explain to me how guiding is at risk by doing this?
Through the chair, I'm not an attorney, but I'll do my best. What should do it? When we established the requirements to have a guide, and originally it was just for grizzly bears, brown bears, and sheep. It was put in a lot on safety, for the safety of the hunter. And so to say that some hunters now don't have to have that requirement puts it in jeopardy. But I think the big thing is, if you open it up in some places and not others, it violates the Commerce Clause of the United States Constitution.
That's the two-sentence answer, but yeah. I get the gist of it. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Hines?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have a couple questions. Can you tell me what's required to become a big game hunter now?
Madam Chair, Representative Hines, it's a registered guide, and it takes several years of being an assistant guide and then passing a test, and it's through the Department of Commerce and Economic Development that issues the registered guide permits. And there's several hundred guides in Alaska for all different species. It's probably a $200 million a year industry. Very important.
The point being, so you can't just go down like sport fishing guide, go down, buy your license, and bam, you're a sport fishing guide.
No, there's quite a process for it, and we have guides on the line, but I think that's its essence. It takes several years to become a licensed or registered big game guide.
You have a follow-up, Representative Hines?
I do. Thank you, Madam Chair. The other is, what does an average, say, grizzly bear hunt cost?
Madam Chair, Representative Hines, it varies by area. In the rare, in the areas where there's large trophy grizzly bears on Admiralty Island in southeast Alaska, the Alaska Peninsula, and Kodiak, it's $12,000 to $15,000. In Unit 13, where we're talking about, it's $5,000 to $8,000. And there's guides on here that that's the range that I've heard lately. They may, it may vary a little bit.
Follow up.
So, thank you, Madam Chair. So up in, say, Representative Masick, in my old area, up around Talkeetna, then you're talking thousands and thousands of dollars.
That's correct.
One last question. I don't know if it's a question or a comment, but it seems to me that the wolf pups are born in a den, and bear babies are born in a den. But
cubs.
But the moose are born right out there in the open. I mean, sometimes I've heard the wolves sit there and wait while the mother's going through labor. You know, it seems like right off the bat, they're, you know, the shots are against them for surviving.
Do you have a court respond to
said
that?
It's a labor issue.
Mr. Raglan?
But I would say that, as I said earlier, in certain areas of Alaska, both brown and grizzly bears can be a very, very significant factor on moose calf mortality during that first 2 months. Wolves take a few, less than 10% of the calves that are taken in most areas, because they are stationary. They have to stay around a den. The moose are smart enough. They've moved away from those areas, and the wolves at that time of year have moved on to different kinds of prey, and it's hard, very hard. So, but they'll take a calf if they find one. But most of the mortality in May, June, and early July is by bears.
And why did we go to such lengths last year for on wolf predation?
Because, Madam Chair, because wolves, wolves take a lot of moose too. They just take them in a different time of the year. They kill them once there's snow, and you have deep snow, the moose are very vulnerable to wolf predation. So it's just a difference in timing, and they're killing a lot of the yearling moose. So in order to effectively manage wildlife, we need to reduce predation from both bears and wolves in certain areas.
Thank you.
We do have, as I said, we have Paul Johnson, Rob Holt, and Billy Fitzgerald still online with us. Representative Lynn.
Let me just ask an absurd question. How in the world did moose and wolves and all other God's creatures get here in the year 2004 from the time that they were created without all of our management?
Do you want to respond to that, Mr. Raglan?
Well, they're very rhetorical. The chair, it's a pretty general question, but I think that they're highly adaptable animals. And what wildlife management does is try to stabilize the populations, especially of moose, so that people can have a reliable number to harvest. So what you have, if man doesn't intervene, you get extremely low densities of moose populations throughout, especially in interior Alaska, because you'll have the moose, the predators will keep them at a low density, but they're never eliminated completely. But through management, we can increase the numbers that are available for harvest. And through habitat management, we can just increase the general number. So there are several ways that, and we can manage the populations to have a greater abundance.
How did our native
follow up, Representative Lynn?
I want to ask that. How did our native population here manage all this before we got here?
Through the chair.
Survived over thousands of years.
They took them year round, but they were very low density populations, and so they were.
Representative Guttenberg?
This is kind of a half facetious question, but how many moose have taken on the road system? How many moose a year are killed on the roads?
through the chair. It varies greatly from year to year. And I think somebody said around from Willow down through Palmer this year, I think in the winter, I think down to Anchorage, 360. It varies, you know, and there's probably another 100, 150 on the Kenai. We've had a very high snow year, so on average it could go over 500 a year for on the highways.
How many by the railroad?
All of it.
On the railroad, I think the highest year we had was around 300 moose were killed along the railroad. That was in the early 80s. Now we work very closely with the railroad. They run cars ahead of it. They plow back from the highway. So that number has really decreased as we work together to decrease the mortality along the railroad.
Representative Wolf.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Guttenberg, just add a little input. A few years back, we lost almost 1,000 moose on the Kenai Peninsula because of roadkill. Last year was very low, but when I walked in here, Madam Chair, at first light, and I'll be honest, I didn't have really a chance to really go through this bill, and this bill looks like a predation bill, and you know, normally I would support predator control, but using non-resident aliens and non-resident people to do our predation control, hurting a $200 million industry here in the state of Alaska, just defies good common sense. And I was going to tell you, I'm going to be a no.
Well, having said that, Representative Wolf, the time constraints that we have, our bells are ringing, they're going to summon us to the House floor. We have taken public testimony and debated the bill here. And for those of you that are on teleconference, we are being summoned to upstairs to the second floor. And for those of you online, especially to Rob and Paul and Billy, when we do bring this back up again, I'm going to recess this to the call of the chair. So whenever we get back to it, we will keep you apprised. And if we should have to call upon you for some more questions to this bill, we'll be in touch with you. So I appreciate you making yourself available on this Sunday afternoon or evening. And having said that, we are recessed to the call of the chair.